Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Okay, and we're back. Joining us, Robert Fraes. Now, thank you for taking some time to talk with us today.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. Now, I'm going to start out because people know me that listen. I heard you on Coast to Coast, and I didn't appreciate the job that was done by George Nuri. I kind of wished he had done the job a little bit nicer, or not that he has to be nice, but just a little bit more real. He plays into the negativity a little bit too much for me. So I wanted to give you the opportunity to come on our show, and just kind of go through the church and yourself and everything, because you're just a not just a, but you're a normal human being that lives in the U.S. and a good person, and I think that we got to, just kind of let people know what the whole deal is. So let's start out with the Traditional Church of Satan.
Okay.
And
the traditional.
Yeah, I'm just going to say where it started and kind of what kind of the policies or the standards are.
All right. Well, basically, I started the Traditional Church of Satan because lately I've been seeing a lot of satanic groups basically acting too fundamental. They've been having way too many rules and dictations, and I do not believe that Satanism is about that. I believe that Satanism is a philosophy and a religion based on individual freedom and expression. So basically what I want to do was take Satanism back to its roots and really emphasize the individual individualism within it.
Okay. So what is that? What is Satanism? What does it entail? What is the word Satan? So we're not following a devil per se, as the Christian kind of culture would think.
Correct. The word Satan itself is defined as adversary. Now, I am a theistic Satanist. I recognize an adversarial deity, and her name is Tiamat, which is the Babylonian goddess creator. Now, other Satanists may not view Satan as an actual external force. They view it as a symbol of rebellion against tyrannical systems and society.
Now, you started this. You were the creator of the Traditional Church, right?
Yes, the Traditional Church of Satan.
Yeah. And so what made you start it and not join one of the other churches?
Well, I started this church last year on June 6th. The reason why I did not affiliate with the Church of Satan, because they no longer, in my opinion, they no longer go by the philosophy of LaVey. And they've changed the whole structure around. Not only that, but they charge people $200 for a red card that basically you cannot even use to go to meetings or anything. They no longer really have meetings or, group interactions. So, it's more like a fan club. So I really didn't want to become a part of that. I wanted to bring Satanism back towards a religious, more religious structure. Because there's so many groups out there, which is fine, that are, politically active and basically just exist as activists. I do belong to a couple of them, but I do not see many groups out there that are religious, per se.
Right. Right. So now, how does a traditional Church of Satan member live their life?
They do what is that? I couldn't hear you.
Well, I was just saying, how does a traditional Church of Satan member live his day-to-day life or her day-to-day life?
See, this would depend. Satanism is a, like I said, individual philosophy and based on freedom. So it would really depend on that individual's, way of life. Myself, I can only speak for myself because, like I said, it's an individual religion. Basically, I wake up every day. I take care of my son. Typical things like that. I mean, I'm a very basic, regular guy. I don't really go out there and, stalk people and look for animals to sacrifice or anything like that. I just, live like a typical person.
Right. So it's not really a change, as in, how often do you go to meetings or how often do you guys get together?
Well, our church, the main office, which I run, we meet a few times a month. And there's various chapter houses throughout the United States, Canada, and England, which they hold their own meetings. But, we try to keep things monthly or at least bi-monthly.
And what goes on in the meetings?
Basically, the members will interact. We'll have a meal, a drink or two together. We'll celebrate life. We'll talk about, our goals and our achievements and how we can reach these goals.
So it's really kind of more of a support system, really.
Yeah, that's what this church exists as a support system. We're not dictating to people any set, doctrine. We don't have, everyone has their own individual belief system. We're not going to be saying, hey, you can't follow this, you can't do that, you can't develop your own system. We encourage everybody within the church to develop their own system and path.
And so you don't exclude any type of people or any type of, for any reason, due to their race or sex or anything like that?
No, the only type of people we don't allow within the church are sex offenders.
Right.
Sex offenders, rapists, or wife beaters, things like that. We don't allow them because we believe that those actions are very counterproductive of what we're about.
Yeah, and that's a good thing. So I have to say, when you started this, you've written a book.
Right.
And so what can people expect to get when they read the book?
The Black Book of the Abyss?
Yes.
Or the Satanic Bible?
Well,
the Black Book of the Abyss. Well, I can talk about both of them.
Yeah.
The Black Book of the Abyss, I wrote during the time my father was dying of cancer. I needed to do something to kind of take my mind away from all that because it was a very, very rough time in my life. So I wrote that, and basically I see it as a starter point for Satanists. It's a book that people can read, the basics, how to do rituals and so that kind of basic thing. Satan's Bible is more so as a traditional sense of the Bible. It has mythology, it has its rituals, songs, it has, all that kind of stuff, and then it has some written notes near the end of it. So I think people get a lot out of both those books.
And so, and just to make it clear now, so you're not, this is not a church about promoting Lucifer or the devil or the Christian's idea of Satan, per se.
No, many of us are not Luciferians, although there are a couple of Luciferians in the church, which by definition would fit under adversarial, theistic Satanism, but we don't really have many of them. There are no devil worshippers, though, in our church. The Luciferian concept, you can kind of bring back a little prior to Christianity. But for the most part, no, we don't really recognize devil worship or any reverse Christianity.
Yeah, yeah. And so now, one thing I noticed and listening to you before is that you sort of believe in the afterlife or ghosts or spirits in that sort of way, whereas the Church of Satan, the other with Peter Gilmore, they believe in nothing like that. There is just no such thing to them as ghosts, spirits, afterlife, any of that stuff. You live, you die, it's over. So tell me about that. So what made you start to believe in that? Like, where did it come from for you?
Personal experiences. I've had them all throughout my life. As early as I can remember, I've seen what people would call our spirits. And this has been something that's been with me my whole life. And, you know, it's something I think is it is very important for people to research. And, you know, it's okay to be skeptical about it. But, you know, it's one of those things. As you said, the Church of Satan does not recognize that stuff. LaVey, when he first started, he was a deist. So he recognized an actual external force. Peter Gilmore and those people basically changed the structure of that church around to make it into an atheistic kind of religion, which in my opinion is an oxymoron. But, you know, it's what they would want to do so they can do it. I don't know, basically, you know, I just think the paranormal exists. It's something that people should really look into.
So what was your first experience? How old were you?
The first one I can recall was I was probably, the night I was born, actually, there were UFOs above the hospital. My mother was telling me about that. And then the first experience that I can recall, I was playing in a friend's basement, and my parents helped them clean up the house. I was probably about, I don't know, maybe four or five or something like that. And I had an urge to look up at the window in the basement, and I saw what, you know, would basically look like a cross between that vampire Nosferatu and a gray alien. Now, ever since then, I've been having experiences with shadow people and that sort of thing. So, I mean, it's not just me either. There's other people in my family who have seen them with me. So it's not just like it's an illusion from my own mind or some kind of hallucination.
What do you think that is? Like, what's your opinion on why... not only you, but other people see, like what the shadow people, and for instance, that's a popular phenomenon. What do you think that is? What's that about?
You know, I'm still researching the shadow people myself, and I believe now that they're interdimensional beings. I don't know exactly why they choose specific people to reveal themselves to, or why some people can see them and others cannot. I really don't know if they're supposed to be good or evil. Because there's been many descriptions by different people. Some people say they've done good things to them. Some people say they've done bad things to them. But I really don't know yet. This is something I'm still researching, which is what kind of got me into the occult in the first place. Because after I started seeing these things and experiencing paranormal activity in my homes, I began to read about it, and because I wanted to find out what was going on. So that's kind of like what got me into it. Because I, you know, from subject to subject, and eventually I got into demonology. And then into occult practice from there.
How does it make you feel? But like, you know, when you see a shadow people, are you in fear of it, or does it scare you, or do you feel kind of comfortable with it?
When I was a little kid, they used to scare me really bad. I wasn't able to move or talk or anything. It was very frightening. It was like an experience of like you were nothing. You couldn't do nothing to defend yourself, and you just know that this being is far more superior in some manner. I really can't explain it much more than that. But now that I'm an adult, I mean, I'm still cautious of them when I see them, but I don't get as scared when I used to. I've tried reaching out and talking to them and things like that, but I'm no longer afraid of them. I used to be really afraid.
Yeah. And so have you connected with any sort of mediums or people that do psychic things and try to communicate with spirits?
I haven't really done much of the psychic stuff. I've done, I've communicated through dreams and meditation. It's more telepathical. They don't talk like you and I.
Okay. And so where do you think they're coming from?
To be honest with you, I do not know yet, but I believe it's from another dimension and it comes through portals.
Hmm. And you, it, So now you mentioned UFOs. So now you're in belief of aliens, for instance, or people from other...
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. And what's your connection there? Like, how do you feel... I guess what I'm trying to say is, let's talk about your belief in sort of the UFO and alien.
Mm-hmm. Like what I believe they are, or what they're here for.
Yeah, kind of what you, you know, from all of you, just living your life and experiencing and researching yourself and trying to get to some answers, what have you discovered so far?
Yeah, well, basically, when I was a little kid, I started seeing UFOs and all that kind of different thing. And through my research, I've, you know, in my first experiences, I believe that there's different alien races and, you know, each race has its own agenda, but, you know, just like the human race, there's good ones and there's bad ones. You know, and again, good and bad is subjective, so it's really going to depend on how you yourself view it. And basically, these aliens, they come here, and some of them want to help humanity, and some of them want to, you know, use us as test subjects and things like that. I mean, it's really my conclusion that they have their own motives, just like human beings have their motives. When you invade other countries, you do different things. Sometimes you go to countries to help people. But ultimately, it's about resources. And I believe now that these aliens, they come here for resources. They recycle energy matter.
And do you think that they're sort of just watching us, or do you think there's a future for us with them?
But they're already, in my opinion, they're already involved in our day-to-day activities. I think eventually, pretty soon, maybe within 20 years, they're going to reveal themselves to the general public. But other than that, I think, yeah, they definitely have influenced human beings over throughout history.
So all the things going on in the world, do you think, like, you know, with ISIS now, and there's always seems to be some war or center of attention, something going on. Is that sort of, they've just let it happen, or do you think they've actually influenced it to happen?
I think some of them have influenced it, and the other ones let it happen to see how it's going to play out. Because if you think about it, all these religions, they all started with believing that the gods came from the sky. So automatically, I mean, by definition, those gods are alien. They're not from this earth. So I think ever since the beginning of man, you know, we've been talking about stories about the gods coming from the sky. I think they've just been doing it, continuing it, and influencing human beings. These gods, in my opinion, are just alien beings, higher life forms.
So there, it's really kind of, they've let it expand through humanity, you know, the different types of religions, the different... Sex.
Right, and they do it to separate people, too. That's why there's separate religions. They do it so the people are not going to be one unit. They've created, like, different colors of skin and all that different thing just to cause separation amongst the races. And it's, you know, it's working right now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think it always has. I think that we see it more now. It's easier to, you know, see it with our communications and stuff.
Right.
But it's crazy. Because we constantly kill each other over it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And ultimately, it's about, I mean, ultimately, God is the same thing anyways. It's an energy force, the creator. That's really all it is. But these aliens have manipulated it so much that they've given it names and, you know, attributes and things like that just to give to different people in different sections of the world so that way we'll constantly be at war with each other. And it's just a manipulation thing. That's all it really is.
Yeah. And so then they don't really care, in a sense, in a way, if we're killing each other or doing things sort of. So what do you think their ultimate goal is for us? Do you have any opinions on that?
The reptilian goal?
Yeah.
Or, all right, well, the reptilians, as I said, there's different factions before. And I think some of their goal is to enlighten human beings and to make them aware of what is really going on. The reptilians, I believe, represent the Sumerian deities, and so I believe that those are the actual true, you know, the true gods. And I try to keep it as simple as that, and I try to, you know, basically just focus on that, not anything afterwards. Because that's where the corruption came upon.
Yeah, that's... and that's for sure.
Yeah.
So what do you do with your day-to-day life? How does this affect the way you live your life?
It doesn't affect me too much. I'm just more aware than, you know, many other people of what's going on and how the world is programmed and how, you know, other beings have programmed it to be this way. So I use that to my advantage, and I can kind of play along with it to manipulate the world around me into what I want it to be.
Do you feel like it alienates you some?
Yeah. I mean, I've looked up my my family tree, and evidently it goes back to the Sumerian creators, so I'm basically related to what they would consider these aliens.
And so how does that, like, how are you fitting in with, let's say, your community, neighbors and people like that?
How do I get along with people?
Yeah, like, how does does it create a distance, or some of them, or is it kind of good, or?
It depends. I mean, you know how people are. Some people are going to look at you and think you're either crazy or whatever. And, you know, people that think that way, I don't really care too much of what they have to say, because that's just their opinion, not mine. There's other people who appreciate things that I do, who are not Satanists. And it's one of those situations. Even if I wasn't a Satanist, there would be people who would judge me on some kind of other aspect of my personality or something like that. But it's just one of those things. You never know. So, like, you know, I see it as like a 50-50 kind of split.
Yeah.
One of those kind of things.
Right. And you just have to always be cautious. But I guess it's getting to the world where you have to be anyway.
Right.
So, now, who can join the church or become a member?
Anybody can, except for sex offenders.
Right. So how would they?
I don't allow them into church.
Oh yeah, no. I mean, it's like, why would you want them?
How they do it? You can easily go onto the website and just sign up. It's free.
Okay. And so when they join, what happens? Is there some regulations? Is there some sort of things that they have to do? Do they have to attend meetings?
No, it's just very basic. I don't believe people have to go through all that kind of stuff, because that's like dictation towards others and telling people what to do, and I believe that's very unsatanic and against the religion. So I just let people, whoever, to sign up, and then if they identify themselves as Satanist or whatever, they can sign up and, you know, be a member if they choose to.
Yeah, yeah. And what I guess, you know, I think that we have to clear is like that there is no worship, as in sacrificing of humans or animals or anything like that, involved in the church at all, is there?
No, we don't do anything like that.
And you're not supporting any of that either.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more.
And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns. Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/acast. That's burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
No, we don't. I mean, there's other groups and stuff that say that they do that, but those are Marduk worshippers. And the Marduk worshippers are the ones that, you know, created the three religions that, you know, ruled the world and all that stuff. And they've been sacrificing people since the dawn of time.
Yeah. Do you think that'll ever end if the aliens expose themselves in 20 years or so? Do you think the whole religion thing will end then?
I don't think it's going to totally end. I think it's going to actually heighten at that point, because then that's when the gods reveal themselves to the people. And then it's going to become more difficult from there.
So what do you think happens to us after we die?
This is something I've, you know, come up with. I believe we're made out of energy, and our soul is energy. So it goes back into the universe. I mean, it can go back into other things, because everything is made out of the same energy. We're all connected into one thing. So when we die, I mean, you know, I think sometimes our energy and our consciousness can just separate the body without recycling into, you know, the universe. And then other times it goes back into the universe and it gets recycled and puts in, you know, we come back here as maybe something else, sort of like reincarnation.
And do you think we come back as other humans or just other animals or plants?
I mean, I'm not exactly sure yet, to be honest with you. I mean, I've just been, you know, looking into it, but from my experience and things I've looked at, I think this goes back into, like, anything, like trees, you know, the sun, water. It can go back into humans. And all the time, this energy is constantly being filtered. It's being filtered and recycled and put back into everything else. That's how everything stays going.
Yeah, we're all one. The UFO experience, too. So what do you think, do you believe in the abductions, like people that say they've been taken up in a ship and probed or whatever the case, researched and that? Do you sort of believe in that?
I believe it's happened. You know, sometimes, though, I do believe that some people think that's what happened to them, but it could be a repressed memory of some kind of abuse within their household. Because I'm thinking about it. It's like, why would these aliens want to, you know, annually probe people constantly? There's no use for it.
Yeah.
So in my mind, it's kind of like an oppressed memory kind of thing where people may have been abused and they, you know, have to make a scenario up. But yes, I do believe that there is alien abduction. I just don't know at what level it's at.
Yeah. Now, where do you think they're from, the aliens?
You know, I think there's a few of them from, you know, different places in the galaxy. Then there's other ones who come from different dimensions who use portals to get through. I mean, right now people are starting to look at the sun as a big portal. And I've always kind of had that theory, but now there's more and more evidence, I guess, videos and things of UFOs around the sun. So I'm kind of thinking that that's one of the major portals. I mean, it makes sense. It's a big, huge energy force. So, yeah.
It's pretty interesting. So what's your outlook now? What do you think's
good? My outlook?
Yeah. On the world.
On like what?
On the world.
The world? You know, like I said before, you know, we create our own reality, and the world is what we make it. The world around me right now is pretty good. I have a family who loves me. I got good friends. I got food to eat and everything else. So, you know, right now the world looks pretty good to me. I mean, the outside world and everybody else, you know, that's up to them. They have the power to fix it if they want to. If they want to keep it going the way it is, then that's what they're going to do. I just try not to let that world influence me, because I know what it really is, and what it is, you know, it's a big illusion. So I just, like I said, I create my own reality.
So what do you, now, speaking of influences, what are your influences? Like what do you like, as in books or music or even TV or movies or any sort of, what kind of influences do you have that are positive?
What am I into? Positive? I mean, I don't know. All my life, like, different influences I've had. I mean, I grew up in rock and roll music. I'm a musician myself. I listen to a lot of classical music, and I guess that kind of influence goes into my music. When I was a little kid, I used to watch, like, horror movies with my dad and things like that. I think I watched maybe too many of them, but I don't know. I mean, a lot of the influences around me, like family, it was always very positive. The family has always been supportive of me, and they've always, you know, been very loving. So I never really had many negative influences really affect me, because I wasn't really put into those kind of situations, luckily. Like, I didn't have parents who abused drugs or they were alcoholics or anything like that. So I had a pretty positive upbringing.
Yeah. It's a good thing. Any other books? Like, so obviously LaVey, like, you were influenced somewhat by him.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, every Satanist was influenced by LaVey in some type of way. I mean, that's basically the first book anyone would read when getting into Satanism. His books kind of influenced me a little bit, you know, about the whole individual aspect of Satanism. Other than that, I really don't like LaVey as a person. I don't think he'd be someone I would hang out with, because of all the allegations from his family about abuse and things like that. That's just not someone I would, you know, want to be around. Other writers and stuff that influenced me are like H.P. Lovecraft, and the Marquis de Sade. And, basically things like that. I mean, I'm just, you know, it's just very simple and nothing crazy and complex with all these, these intellectual people who pretend that they have some kind of huge, you know, academic learning and all that stuff. It's just simple, basic. I'm not going to lie to people.
Yeah, yeah. And so how was it when you decided to go in this direction? How was it for your parents or your family then?
When I did what?
When you decided to go into the traditional Church of Satan and start doing this.
Oh, when I started doing Satanism? Well, I was 12 years old when I came out to everybody and told them that I was a Satanist. At first, obviously, my family was concerned. And they thought, you know, hey, what are you doing? You're hurting animals or whatever. But after they got over the initial shock of that whole thing, they were supportive, because I realized I wasn't really doing anything wrong. But yeah, I mean, my ancestor, Anne Hutchinson, she fought for religious freedom in the United States. She was one of the first people who did that. So, I mean, I think it's in my blood to just, you know, continue doing this kind of thing.
And I guess with the afterlife and things like that. So do you think that you can communicate with someone that's passed on that you knew in life?
I think I have.
Okay.
I think I have. But it's been mostly through dreams, and it's hard to say what the dream is. You know, it's very thin line between that kind of sort of thing. But yes, I think I have communicated with spirits and things like that, talking. And, you know, like I said, on the other level with spirits, when I communicate, you know, on a, you know, conscious level, it's more telepathical, more so they talk through, like, weird thing, like emotions and like visions, rather than talking like you and I.
Right.
It's different. It's hard to explain.
Yeah, they kind of create an emotion or something for you to pick up.
Yes, because it's all energy based, and that's what they are. And at that point, they can only communicate with you through a psychic, basic energy wavelength.
Yeah. When have those experiences sort of happened to you? Were they younger as well, or does it just go on constantly now?
Yeah, it happens now. I mean, it would happen a lot when I was younger. Not as often now, unless I sit down and meditate and try to bring it towards me. But basically, yeah, it was mostly when I was younger. But still, I have dreams of, you know, spirits and things like that, and they'll give me messages to give to people. And I do. Some people take it, you know, as I'm lying or whatever, but I just relay what, you know, that I'm told.
Yeah. Yeah. Pass on the message. And,
And if people want to accept it, they can.
And so do you ever, want to get into that sort of part of life, like, kind of researching haunted places or spirits?
Yeah. I'm into paranormal investigations and things like that. I've always been into that. I've gone around and I've done photos and I've done EVP recordings and things of that nature.
That's really cool. Do you think you want to do a ghost hunt?
Yeah, I would do something like that. I mean, I've always looked for groups to be involved with, but there's a lot of groups, they want to involve themselves with me because of the whole Satanist thing, and they think it's just will bring negativity to their investigations and things like that. So it's kind of hard for me to find an organization I can actually work with.
Hmm. Well, they're just not researching, that's all. They're just sort of judging you by the cover then, right? So.
Yeah, that's all it really is. So, I mean, it doesn't really hurt my feelings enough, and I may have to start my own thing. That's just what I do usually.
Yeah. Well, you know, sometimes you have to. Sometimes that's how it starts. Because it's not specific to anybody. Nobody has the, the hold on it. Anybody can do it. So, are there any mediums out there that you've seen that you kind of like on TV or?
No, there's groups around here and things like that. I talked with the members through the paranormal groups, but I haven't really met with anybody. I just through me and my friends, we'll get together and just do our own like little investigations of places and stuff like that. Nothing too major because I don't have the money for all the equipment. So I just use the basic, like, photography, EVP recordings, and things of that nature.
Yeah, yeah. It's a pretty expensive feat to do,
Yeah. So. Well, yeah, because then you're dealing, because now it's all, like, technical, real technical. They use all these infrared cameras and all that kind of stuff. So it's pretty expensive. I want to get this, the EMP pump, I think it is, or the EMF pump? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to get that pump so I can, feed the energy around and see, what kind of results I may get from that.
Yeah, that's really cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so let's talk a little bit about not get too deep, but maybe about the what you think as in like the reptilian and chaos and things like that, kind of your take on God.
Okay, my opinion and my views on it. Okay. So like I said before, I recognize an adversarial deity, so I am a theistic Satanist. So I recognize the first reptilian dragon creature, which is named Tiamat. Now, she became who she is because people at that time decided to create mythology to represent energy that is very real. Now, Tiamat represents chaos energy, and it is from this energy that created all things. All things come out of chaos. So all things are connected. And since she is a dragon, I believe she is the mother to the reptilian race as she is to all races. So it only makes sense to me to align with the reptilian, the reptilian aliens.
And so how do you think about the cryptozoology and things like that? Have you been involved in any of that or...
Oh, yeah, those things have interested me all through my life, too, because I've always seen, this is the thing, too, I've always seen strange, like, creatures and things of that nature. I mean, I've seen, like, weird, sea monster creatures up in the river and things like that. So, yeah, I've always been interested in that. When I was younger, I seen, like, a Bigfoot creature. And I've seen all kinds of weird things that I cannot explain. So, yeah, I've been into cryptozoology.
Did you go to the Dragon Con?
No, I don't really go to many places. I have social anxiety, so I kind of keep to myself. I just, like to walk around the woods by myself and things like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I understand that. So, what do you think goes on with in cryptozoology? Things like, what do you think goes on? Why, like Sasquatch, Bigfoot, and things like that? Why have there never been any proper
bodies
and stuff like that?
That's a very good question. I believe in these creatures, and I just don't believe there's many of them. I mean, in the vast wilderness and stuff like that, if something was to die, I don't think you would find it, because other creatures and things would eat it or whatever. I mean, there's also other theories too that these creatures can be from other dimensions also. I mean, I really don't know how it works. I mean, it could be something like a glitch in some kind of system where we see something that's on a parallel universe. So I really don't know for sure, but I know what I've seen, I know what other people have seen, and I believe them. But yeah, I just don't know exactly why there haven't been any bodies, or if there have been, maybe they were taken and not talked about.
Yeah.
For whatever reason.
Oh, and it's true. It's not like you come across bodies of wild animals that have been dead and find them.
I go in the woods where there's like deer and things like that, and I've only come across like one corpse out of like so many that live there. And, I mean, you know, that's the whole thing. And there's so many raccoons and chipmunks around, and I don't really see many of them, like, sometimes on the side of the road, but, you know, there's so many of them, too. So that's the thing, though. Walking in the wilderness, I don't really see them because the animals are going to eat them and they get spread out.
Yeah, there's something there. And so do you think we'll ever find them, ever get that caught now that there's so much TV and media? And
I think eventually they may find one. If they don't find a Bigfoot, they'll find something else. I mean, we're always discovering new creatures every day. I mean, the ocean is a place to look. We need to start investigating the ocean. That's where all the interesting creatures really are, deep down in the abyss.
Yeah. Certainly an undiscovered place, isn't it? So much there and that.
I mean, who knows what's down there? It could be anything. They could be like mermaid people or anything like that. We don't know how life evolved down there. It could be intelligent forms of life.
Yeah, it could be anything, you know. It's... Well, so now how do people get a hold of you? And how do people contact you?
My website, traditionalchurchofsatan.com.
And your books are available now, of course.
Yeah.
Great.
Yes, they can get them on Amazon and Barnes & Noble and selected bookstores. I'm working right now on getting them put into some more bookstores. But they're available on all major online retailers.
Yeah, that's fantastic. So what's the general feedback? What kind of...
Most of it's positive, and there's some people who don't like it. It's one of the things. I don't really focus too much on the feedback, because when I write something or whatever, I do it because I feel I have something to say. I don't really think so much of what people are going to say about it. I just want to put it out there into the world and make it a reality.
Yeah.
You know, I create it, so I'm like a creator. I'm God. I'm going to make these creations, and they become real. So, like, right now, this book was in all of my mind, you know, and everything else. I took it and made it real. And manifested it into this reality that we live in.
Yeah. Well, do you think that when we get cancer, like you talked about, you had cancer, and do you think?
Yeah, my father had cancer.
And do you think that we create that as well, like the negatives in our life?
I mean, I don't know too much about how, you know, sicknesses work and stuff like that. My father was a very positive person. I don't really think that that's what happened to him. He worked around a lot of chemicals and stuff because he worked for the town. And he did a lot of, like, hot topping and stuff like that, and he got cancer. I think that may have contributed to it. I think a lot of that kind of things is the chemicals and things that are added into the atmosphere and our water and everything else. Because if you look at it over the years, I mean, cancer rates have gone up and gone up. They keep going up. And I think it's because there's so much more chemicals and processed foods and all that kind of stuff that we're just pumping into our bodies that aren't naturally, you know, we're not supposed to be ingesting them.
Yeah.
So they cause cells to mutate.
Yeah, no, I think so, too. I think that, yeah, it's a problem.
Yeah, it's a big problem. I mean, that's one of the major my major concerns. There's nothing really you can do about it. I mean, I'm aware of it, but, you know, I can't really change that. So there's not much I can do about it. You know, I see the chemtrails every day. I see all that stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
It's real. I mean, people are going to deny it, but it's real.
Yeah. It almost seems out of control in a way.
Yeah, because there's nothing you can't control, so people rather ignore it. I mean, but that's the whole thing. More people need to be aware of it and accept it and then try to do something to change it because, you know, right now, there's so much, everything is like fake that we eat. It's all fake or processed some way or just drugs and, you know, put into it or something. So we're all kind of medicated on something. You know, all these chemicals that don't belong inside of us are in us. And I believe it's also a form of mind control because fluoride is used as a form of mind control. Hitler did it. And that's all, it's in our water supply. So it's, you know, it's one of those things people just got to be aware of. I mean, this is what's going on. There's more and more of us now. And you notice now there's more and more people going crazy and going nuts and shooting people and things like that. I think it's all connected. I think there's some form of mind control involved.
Huh. Do you think it's just like a test of some sort, just experiment that we are?
Oh, yeah. Basically, I do. Right now, we've definitely been experimented on. I mean, there's so much drugs and there's so much stuff being injected into us. And, you know, there's a lot of evidence saying that these things aren't even beneficial in any way or whatever. So, yeah, they're using this stuff on us. They're testing it on us. It's like, you know, scientists would with a rat. It's the same thing. I mean, and supposedly, you know, let's go back to the aliens again. Supposedly, from what I've learned, is a lot of the gray aliens, especially, have made a deal with governments to, you know, to that they can actually use us as test subjects in exchange for technology. And it makes sense if you think about it, all the technology that's been coming and all the poison that's been coming out at the same time. So if you think about it, both those things are, you know, heightening at the same time.
So you think governments are involved?
I believe so, yes. I believe they're involved. I had a great uncle who worked for the CIA, and I wanted to ask him when I was younger about the aliens, and he told me he couldn't really tell me much about it, but he told me that I was basically right on and I knew what I was talking about. So, I mean, that kind of confirms what I, you know, what I've thought the whole time is what this is what's going on. So I do believe it. I mean, if you look at it, you can probably find evidence to back it up. I believe that, you know, human beings are being tested on right now. It's not good.
Yeah. Yeah. I just have to wonder what the end result is.
I don't think they care about an end result. I mean, if you think about it, scientists with the rats that died, they don't care. They just throw them out. They don't care. This is their thing. It's just resources, and this is going to, like I said, this is going to recycle and continue, and it's going to go on and on and on. It's not going to stop until whatever they want, you know, and they're done, and they've done researching, and maybe they'll go off again and leave.
Huh.
You know, I think they've done this all before.
Yeah, so it's just a cycle of some sort.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's all it is.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of depressing.
Yeah, well, it's depressing. That's why I tell people, you know, focus on your life, enjoy your life. Don't focus so much on the things around that are negative. Enjoy the positive things, because that positive energy really does kind of keep some of that stuff away from you.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, ultimately, it's to enjoy whatever time you do have in this life to try and make the best of it.
Yeah, because, like, you know, I recognize what's possibly going on, and I just say, you know what, screw that. I'm not just going to sit here and be miserable about it and just focus on it all day. I'm going to enjoy my life. I'm here. I'm alive. I'm going to enjoy it.
Yeah, yeah, because it goes quick.
Yeah, you never know.
Yeah. Well, I have to say thank you very much. I've really enjoyed the talk, and I hope we can do it again sometime.
Thank you very much for having me.
Show is over for now.
Was it as good for you as it was for me?
Well, good night.
This has been a production of the Z-Talk Radio Network.
I'll be back.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
You've been listening to the House of Mystery radio show. To find out more about our guests, hosts, or shows, go to www.houseofmystery.com.
Show's over for now.
Was it as good for you as it was for me?
Well, good night.
This has been a production of Something Weird Media.
I'll be back.